Happy 4th of July, America, and welcome to America Tonight. I hope by now you've seen some fireworks, either in your neck of the woods or on the tube. You know, it's amazing what you can see on TV that feels almost real, especially with the big screens now. So I'm a big fan of the Boston Pops when they run that. That's probably one of the better shows. And, of course, the Macy's show out of New York, some of you probably watched that earlier, is spectacular as always. Seems like they have an endless supply of fireworks. And when you go to see fireworks or you watch them, that's what you want. You don't want it to end, I think. Fireworks, to me, are kind of a personal thing. I was thinking about this earlier in the day. I have to say my favorite shows, and maybe this isn't a surprise, are the big ones where the firework, the fireworks basically 10 across the sky with different colors, and then you have the big finale. I'm always disappointed when they have a weak finale if I've gone somewhere and it just doesn't seem like, it seems like they just kind of petered out. Like it started off strong and then they ran out of fireworks or something. So I was looking back into the history of fireworks, and a lot of you know this already, but it goes back to the 7th century, of course, China, where they were invented, and fireworks then were used for festivals, just like, you know, now around the world. It's really part of the culture of China, and that's where it started. It spread to other cultures, of course. That's why we have it in other societies. But there's no doubt the big one, I was talking to someone today about Chinese New Year, and that's it. The spring festival, that's the Chinese New Year. The mid-autumn festival, they always had massive, massive fireworks. And so, of course, China is still today the largest manufacturer and exporter of fireworks in the world. In general, there are two different kinds of fireworks, ground or aerial. So for me, I'm sorry, baby, I am all about the aerial fireworks. You know what I'm saying? You go somewhere and you're like on a hilltop or you're in a giant crowd and you have no idea. They have these cool little flares that they're setting off on the ground, but you can't even see them. So to me, it's all about what's in the sky. So the propulsion thing, shot into the air, usually it's that mortar shell, you know, the aerial shell, I guess they call it. And that's pretty much what you see when it goes up. I mean, it's terrible if it's not done right. Of course, it can be disastrous because it's about the tubes and the cases that they make. It's all about that and how far they go up. And the technology has really, really changed. So I looked this up since I know I was going to talk about fireworks. I was all excited about the whole fireworks thing. And I found that in the best I can find, and I think this still holds up in the Guinness Book of World Records, is 77,282 firework projectiles. I'm not kidding. Is that a big number? Were actually launched in celebration of the 50th anniversary of Kuwait's constitution. I was stunned by this. I figured it was going to be somewhere in the United States, but it wasn't. And that made it the largest in history. It was sort of the celebration, and it happened a couple of years ago in November, or just a year ago, actually, in November is when they shot it off. But that's an amazing amount. You heard the number I said, right? I'm going to say it again because I was shocked by this. This is like a great trivia question. Remember this number and then ask somebody, how many firework projectiles do you think were launched the most of all time? 282, so I'm not kidding. And I think a lot of people, for me, I think the best place to see it is, and this is maybe my own bias because of over the years I've seen lots of different kinds of shows because I've lived all over the place. I really, really think it's very cool when you can get to a fireworks show where it's on the beach, because what you see is if you're on the beach, you have that good vantage point, and you look out, you see all those boats that are out there. So there's people on the boats that are also getting the great view on the other side. But if you're on the beach, you're seeing that. You're seeing all that on the horizon, and I think it's very, very cool. And that's probably why the Macy's fireworks show is so big for a lot of people, because if you're not out somewhere, you see the Hudson. And, you know, my father used to say nothing good happens at the Hudson, but something good does happen there. And it's the fireworks show because it looks so pretty, I think, with the buildings and whatnot in the background. So coming up on this holiday show, we have some great things in store for you, including author Lefton Wright. It's interesting his name is Lefton because his book is The Handbook for Closet Conservatives. He says liberals are rude to the right. And he says that it's pretty tough living in New York with that attitude. He was actually a Depression kid who grew up in Michigan and then moved to the Big Apple. He worked in advertising. Think for all of you that might be like Matt and I and you watch TV's Mad Men. It was about the 60s and what the advertising age was like. I mean, how cool is that? He was there on the cutting edge of it. And he became a really interesting writer, too, and with his observations using his humor, seeing what was happening in the country with the split between conservatives and liberals, you know. And now, could it be any bigger? Could we be more polarized? Of course not. Each and every week, we also talk with Stephen Shohead here on America Tonight. He's a movie aficionado. He has a book out, Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining stories about the stars and legends of the movies, anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. And this guy, I think pound for pound of all the people that I've come across in my career, I don't know, honestly, that I've ever met a better storyteller. And he just pulls you into that story. So he had a lot of thoughts about, we talked to him about all kinds of things this first 6 months of the year, including the big blockbuster movies coming out, whether it was the latest Star Trek movie or whether it was Iron Man 3, which, of course, did well at the box office, or some of the movies that flopped that we weren't so sure that we thought maybe they'd be a little bit more successful. And we talked about the era that we're in. And, of course, 40% of what Hollywood, I say this all the time, 40% of, because I think it's a cool fact, 40% of what Hollywood makes is now. It's during this summertime swing. It really started back in May, and then it kicks back up where they finish off the year and end up, you know, at the holiday time, the Christmas, Hanukkah, and New Year's, making up a lot of the rest of that money. But anyway, Stephen certainly has had some great conversations with us this year, and one of the things we're going to talk about is the impact of the death of James Gandolfini, shockingly, at 51, with the heart attack. I think it makes people question their own mortality, number one, because we think of 51 as pretty young, and the fact that he was just the embodiment of the character that he played, which was Tony Soprano, and how big the Sopranos were. They became, whether you hated it, thought it was violent, didn't watch it, saw little snippets of it, don't understand what's wrong with all the rest of our tastes out there. It definitely swung open the gates for a cable entity like HBO to really just mushroom, and that's what it did with the Sopranos, and it spawned all kinds of industries, actually, too, in the North Jersey area, because they started to take tours and whatnot of Tony Soprano's neighborhood, what would be his neighborhood, and people still today will go to New York, and they still offer tours of some of those neighborhoods, just like Sex and the City, same thing. I think when you think of New York because of television, you think of those two shows. Plus, one of our many, many conversations with Justin Danhof. He's the general counsel for the National Center for Public Policy. Danhof has made it, his personal mission to call BS where he sees it with America's corporations and especially with the government, some of the crazy things that have happened already in the first 6 months this year. So this is one of those interesting conversations. Sit back, kick back, with a special look back at the first 6 months of 2013 on this special 4th of July America Tonight. Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
All right, we say this all the time here on this show, America Tonight, about how crazy it is. And I've seen this because, listen, I have friends who are left of left and right of right and somewhere in between. You know, I don't discriminate. It's about friendship. But I find that sometimes some of my more liberal friends really freak out over what's happening and get absolutely crazy defensive. So I was really excited to learn about this book called The Handbook for Closet Conservatives, How to Succeed in a Liberal World. Left and Right uses a lot of humor in this new novel and is telling readers pretty much, don't be afraid, step out from the shadows to say what you think in what he describes as a very liberal world. Hey, Lefton, thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. Happy to be here.
So do you think really the world is more liberal than conservative?
Well, it seems to be have gotten that way. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this will change it. But when you think, you know, the media, liberal, Hollywood, liberal, everywhere you go, it kind of hits you. But this can change it.
Yeah. So when we talk
about the people I know, for instance, because where I live in the New York area, you know, they tend to be liberal. I'm the closet conservative, and I don't know. Maybe this will get them. Yeah, it's funny because the other day, at the tennis court, the name Hillary Clinton came up, and this guy said, "Oh, I think she's terrific." And I said, "You mean even after Benghazi?" And he said, "Well," he said, "everyone's entitled to a mistake." I mean, get that. Everyone's entitled to a mistake. And I said, "That includes the captain of the Titanic." And he had nothing to say. He just went on. He's gonna. He just thinks he's terrific. Anyhow. It's just, it's like, you know, there's a chip implanted in them, and that's how they feel.
Yeah.
But you try. Maybe it's made an impression. Maybe what I said, well, now that they're hearing more about it, maybe that'll help. You know, I was around, for Watergate, and from the moment it came a little item, the press kept at it day after day after day. They never, ever let up. Here, it's just the opposite. It's kind of like have reluctantly come to it, to the Benghazi issue, which is a hell of a lot more meaningful, you know, much more threatening than Watergate ever was.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, interesting. It's interesting you say, well, you and I have a share a love of tennis. I know that you're a big tennis fan, so it's funny that you brought up tennis and having that conversation in New York, much like when I go to the U.S. Open. Do you have to feel like you have to wear a name tag that says, I'm a conservative, please don't hate me?
Oh, I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't dare. I mean, in the parking lot, I wouldn't dare put on a Romney sticker. I'd be afraid of it. You know, I see Obama's. I see Kerry stickers. They go back to that. But no, I wouldn't do that. I'm selective.
I like that. Yeah, I'm selective. All right, let's hit a couple of topics, things that you talk about, things that you outline in the book. One of the things you talk about, I love this. Okay, your take on recycling.
My take on recycling, it's unbelievable. I mean, there are people just wedded to it, and you can really devote your life to it. You know, you can just absolutely devote your life to it. And you get worried. I've seen people who are, you know, they're terrified. They're going to be caught. You know, they're going to put the wrong thing in the wrong place. And it's funny because I read in the New York Times, of all places, as I recall, quite a while ago, they actually had an article that talked about recycling as not worth it. In other words, that it costs too much. It costs so much to do it. They could put the same money, let's say, into education or medical stuff. And it would be much, much more valuable. But it's become an emotional thing. Here I have another thing. I used to do freelance writing, for Champion. I wrote Champion, the paper company, when they were still around, big company. Yep. And so I spoke to different people there. And it came at a time when they started to recycle, newsprint. And this fellow said to me, the man in charge of it, he said, well, we've got to do it, but let me tell you, it's absolutely counterproductive. First of all, to do that, they have to build a plant. They build the plant, and then they put the old newspapers in there, and they have to use all these chemicals in order to get them, you know, back to pulp. And the chemicals come out into the water, pollute the water. Then they have to unpollute the water, so they have to add something else to do that. And by the time they're through, he says, it's cost a fortune. You'd be much better off just growing trees. And at that point, the tree, you'd get a new tree every 20 years. You know, that's renewable, you know. However, people were just wedded to recycling. They felt awful if they couldn't do it. So, I don't know.
I agree with you.
Logic isn't,
isn't there?
Isn't what runs the world?
Right.
Not in the liberal world.
Right.
Know,
right.
It's
right.
An emotional thing. So.
Right. Another thing that's a big hot button, and you definitely tackle this one, is welfare. Welfare is a hot button, room dividing topic. Depending on where you are, and where you are, you can't even bring it up.
No, you can't, because then you're considered. You're accused of being a racist. You're.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rough thing when you point out that what welfare has done is really hurt people. It's really taken people who could have been independent. You know, it has demeaned them. It has made them dependent and less of what they could be. I noticed, you know, they did have a certain amount of welfare reform under Clinton, and the result was pretty good. Even when there was at that time a recession after that. A lot of people who had gone off welfare and had to work did not go back on welfare. They made it a point, you know, to try to keep their jobs. They in a sense, they had a reason, they had an excuse to go back on it, and they didn't do it because they found a certain amount of pride in being self-supporting, you know. So, however, we seem to be going back to that. I noticed that in Obama's case, they've taken away work requirements. It's like they're trying to go back. Making people dependent again, and I suppose he figures that gets votes, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. We could definitely talk about that. And the other thing, too, is, you know, do you believe in global warming?
Oh, God. I think that is a joke. I mean, I think the billions of dollars spent on it, it's just incredible. Sure, I'm sure, yeah, the Earth is warming. The globe has been warming for millions and billions of years. And you can take away every automobile ever, anywhere in the world. It'll still warm up. It'll still warm up. And it's an unwinnable war. You know, it's an unwinnable battle. But I think, you know, people make a, these guys make a career out of it. You know, they get to go to wonderful meetings around the world, live well. That's what
yeah,
I say
a lot of money.
In the book. I mean, it's just, it's too good a thing to give up.
Right.
And it's an unwinnable fight, you know. Because I've asked people, I said, well, now exactly what are you going to do with this global warming issue? Are you trying to stop it? You know, are you trying to reduce it? What can you do? What actually can you do? And there is no answer. The answer, well, is always drive more efficient cars, you know, or don't change the fuel, do hybrids and all of that. That's always the answer. And it still isn't going to work. You know, it might postpone global warming by 5 minutes, but it's not going to prevent it. In addition to which, it's been very helpful in many parts of the world. From what I mentioned this in the book that I read about, I learned it in the frozen parts of the world, Iceland, so forth.
Mm-hmm.
There is now land that is fertile. It's growing crops that people, you know, people need. It's feeding them. It's they're better off than they were before. It's a great help. So that's my take on global warming.
Yeah, you never hear that though. The other thing too, we're covering all the bases here. We don't want to give everything away in your book. People can pick it up at Amazon.com or of course BNN. But education, you know, we see the big strike that happened in Chicago in the fall, and it's since I was a kid, this has been the unions in New Jersey, the fighting back and forth. What do you think about our educational system right now?
That's a major question.
I know. You can't answer that in this. It takes us hours.
Know.
I know.
I don't know. I think there seems to be hope. There seems to be hope, certainly in charter schools. And there, but I can't. This has been an issue for years, you know. In a way, I think, aren't they? They're getting a little tougher, I think, on unions, I believe. I think even in Chicago, I think Rahm Emanuel, as left as you can get, has gotten somewhat tougher on teachers' unions, and that's made a difference. I think they're getting to the point where, you know, taxes are so high, you have to keep raising it to give teachers more and more money to do less and less, that it's starting to turn around. I think that's my observation.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. All right, if you never know, if I'm in your neck of the woods, I'm going to call you for a tennis game. You were terrific, and I'm telling everyone to pick up the book, Handbook for the Closet Conservatives, How to Succeed in a Liberal World. Thanks, Lepton.
Well, thank you very much.
Everyone all set? Cocked? Locked? This is USAPrepares.com. Get Prepared Expo number 6, Lebanon, Missouri. The largest in the USA. July 19, 20, and 21. Expect more on-point seminars, more on-point exhibits, more nationally known experts, more doctors, more radio personalities, and more survivalists than any other expo. 3 days of exhibits and seminars. Online, $18 or $10 a day at the door. Children under 12, free. 2 freeze-dried guy survival banquet dinners with your instructors, $8. Meet and dine with your USAPrepares.com instructors. Attend 50 one-hour seminars. We guarantee that this will be one of your life's 10 most memorable events or your money back. July 19, 20, and 21. Lebanon, Missouri, USAPrepares.com. That's USAPrepares.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and .308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
Be prepared. Stock up now. Save up to 25% on Mountain House Foods only at CampingSurvival.com. This week only, save up to 25% on the number one brand of freeze-dried foods, Mountain House. All fresh, new product, and the lowest prices ever in the history of Mountain House Foods. But hurry, sale price is good only from July 1st through July 7th at CampingSurvival.com. Call now, 800-537-1339, or go to CampingSurvival.com. Since 1956, CampingSurvival.com. Confidence born of preparation.
Hi, my name is DeRay, suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle, actually absorb, providing nutrients, targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drwartman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com. Utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Any marriage would need fidelity.
Like Popeye says, I am what I am.
Well, I didn't marry a cartoon.
A vintage moment between Tony Soprano and his wife, Carmela. During one of the seasons, they were talking about divorce and they were separated. And some of that was so, so entertaining. As you all know, and we've talked about it here in America Tonight, James Gandolfini died last week at the age of 51. He was in Italy. Now his funeral service is set for Thursday in New York, and it's just an outpouring of so many actors and people who knew him and worked with him and had nothing but incredible things to say about a very, very talented man, because Tony Soprano, his portrayal by Gandolfini, really kicked open the doors for a lot of people and exploded HBO, where it aired starting in 1999. Each and every week, Stephen Shohet, the author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies, joins us, and we break it down all over the place when we're talking about the big screen, the little screen, and everything in between. Wow, what a shocker, Stephen, wasn't it, to hear about Gandolfini?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always, you know, it's always a surprise when, I consider 51 to be young, and it's always a surprise. I mean, really shocking, like when John Ritter died, obviously, or when Heath Ledger died, even more shocking. And this is up there. It was out of the blue. You're not expecting it at all. What can you say but best wishes to his family and just awful situation.
Yeah, you heard me talk about the character and you watched, first of all, did you watch The Sopranos? Were you a fan?
I, I did, and I became a little less of a fan toward the end of the show because I thought they were, in my opinion, anyway, they were dragging out certain plots, like the whole Vito runaway plot that to me didn't seem to go very many places, didn't go anywhere. But yes, I was a fan of the show. I was a fan of him, and obviously it's a unique situation because when you talk about people who have played violent characters in movies. Like say Al Pacino playing Michael Corleone, they're not living with it for 6 years, like James Gandolfini was. And he had the interesting thing that he would come back after the summertime, and he would refuse to do, at least in the initial episodes of the new season, the violent scenes required of Tony Soprano. I mean, he would tell Timothy Van Patten, one of the directors, I'm not doing that, you know, I'm not punching that guy, I'm not choking that guy, I refuse, you know, because he had moved away from Tony for those months and had a more peaceful existence, and it was hard to get back into the swing of things. And you know, he admitted that by the end of the show, he had a lot of anger toward the creator, David Chase, about the way things had gone on. And he also said, you know, maybe it was misplaced because it brought me such wonderful fame and a great deal of money. But I think also he used to get frustrated. Like, Edie Falco, she could put on a hat and dark glasses and walk through the streets and nobody would recognize her. But it was tough for James Gandolfini to ever be disguised from the public, and he didn't like that at all.
Yeah, it's interesting, Edie Falco, who you mentioned, one of the quotes, because she gave very few interviews, but she talked to, I want to say, USA Today, and she said, I'm shocked and devastated by his passing. He was a man of tremendous depth and sensitivity, with kindness and generosity beyond words. I consider myself lucky to have spent 10 years as his close colleague. My heart goes out to his family. She says she'll hold on to the memories of the intense and beautiful time together. This is the key part. The love between Tony and Carmelo was one of the greatest I've ever known. So it goes to what you said, how you just, these actors embody those characters. So it was like she was married to him.
Yeah, if you're a method actor like he was, I mean, when he was in the movie True Romance, which helped him get the role of Tony Soprano, and he had a very, very violent scene, for people who haven't seen that movie, with Patricia Arquette. I mean, basically, you know, sort of a knockdown, drag out fight with somebody that he's physically much more imposing than, and you know, a woman. He asked Patricia Arquette in that movie to stab him in the foot with a corkscrew. To literally stab him in the foot with a corkscrew. Even she wasn't going to go that far with the method acting. So, I mean, he totally got into his character. He did say that he was totally in love with Edie Falco, and he said, you know, I don't know if it's Carmella or Edie, but I'm totally in love with her. And you know, he had to submerge himself into that character, and you know, it definitely affected him emotionally as a person. So, I mean, it was a hard thing. Now, other actors don't always have that problem. I mean, just for example, you know, from what I understand on Breaking Bad, which is a, you know, deadly serious show, the actors on that show try and keep things really light. I mean, there was one scene, for example, where Bryan Cranston, who plays Walter White, the drug dealer, was saying something very serious to Aaron Paul, and then pulled out a squirt gun and squirted him in the face to lighten the mood. And you know, I don't know if James Gandolfini did pranks like that and things like that, but you know, some actors can be in these violent movies or violent parts and keep things light. I mean, Malcolm McDowell, for example, when he played the role in A Clockwork Orange, he thought the whole thing was comical and was amazed how people took it so seriously. So not everybody gets in you know, into that kind of depth behind the scenes and gets a lot of angst about the roles that they play, even if they're very violent roles.
Yeah. For David Chase, you mentioned him, what a huge series this was for him and the creator of The Sopranos. And for HBO, it really put them on the map even more, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And you know, there's a story about David Chase that he thought that Hollywood was a horrible place where rotten, horrible people just got away with things all the time. And there was one time when he was a writer on the Rockford Files, and he was in a restaurant with the star of that show, James Garner, and they happened to see across the restaurant an agent for somebody else who had pilfered some music that they were using on the Rockford Files. And in the middle of the meal, just James Garner just calmly got up, walked over to the table, and hit the guy in the face. And David Chase said, that's the only time I ever saw justice in Hollywood. And the Sopranos, in a way, was a little bit of a Hollywood allegory that you could, David Chase felt he could have these people behave in a most horrible way and do these horrible things, but if they got too far out of line, he would stick Tony Soprano on them. So, I mean, that was one of the things that he was thinking about when he was writing some episodes of the show.
Do you expect, because, you know, his body was flown back to the United States, there's been some time to really set this up. It's at a big church in Manhattan. I'm expecting one of those kind of funerals where really you see, I mean, a who's who of Hollywood types that knew him, had brushes with him, were in movies with him. Or they were, of course, part of the Sopranos cast. I think it's going to be a huge funeral.
Yeah, he's a beloved guy. I mean, Kristen Stewart has talked about how much she got along with him because, you know, she despises the limelight just like he did. I mean, Julia Roberts in the movie The Mexican with him had nothing but nice things to say. And the cast of The Sopranos always talked about that he set that James Gandolfini set the tone, because when James Gandolfini took that role, he was surprised that they didn't pick somebody more leading man-like. I mean, he definitely considered himself a character actor and not a lead. And so when he got that role, by almost every account, he was extremely humble, and therefore he set the tone on the set, and he was just beloved by the other actors. Not always by the producers, not always by the writers, who he said he wanted an adversarial relationship with, but by the other actors, they just held him in the highest regard. And so, yeah, I definitely think people will turn out. And of course, you know, some people think that an actor shouldn't have the flags flying at half mast, but other people have pointed out that James Gandolfini did a lot of work. You know, supported the troops, went over with Tony Sirico, Polly Walnut to Afghanistan and Iraq to entertain the troops, to meet with the troops. So he definitely was a concerned citizen and by most accounts, just a very good guy.
Yeah. Stephen, thanks so much. Stephen Shohat, you can catch him at HollywoodStories.com. Links to everything. Pick up his book if you don't have it. We can't wait for when... I'm going to, you know, hound you about that next one. When's that next one coming out?
It's probably been accelerated a little bit, but I don't have a date for you. It's going to be a while. I'm still collecting the stories, and there's just a lot of different things to write about. But Hollywood Stories, you know, available on ebook, audiobook, and hardcover. And it's really reaching a good audience and getting great reviews, and people can find out about it at HollywoodStories.com.
Sweet. We can't wait for the next one, too, collecting those stories. Stephen Shohat, we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, Kate.
All right, what a year so far it's been for loss in Hollywood and television and movies. Gene Stapleton, we've talked about Gene Stapleton's death. We've talked about Dr. Joyce Brothers, just a fame, you know, the fame bug, people who were well-known. Vince Flynn, the novelist, I've read his books, just amazing books that several of the presidents also read. Vince Flynn dying of prostate cancer at 47 years old. It seems that the first 6 months of the year have just been plagued with a lot of loss of different talented people. Coming up, we haven't even talked about this, the Supreme Court with a huge, huge decision. That round the bend.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tonight, you know, Justin Danhoff's been on the show quite a few times. He is the man who is on the beat, so to speak, to hold their feet to the fire. That's what I like to think of him as anyway. He's the National Center's Free Enterprise Project Director. And it's interesting because what we're going to talk about this time is something kind of from my hometown, Philadelphia, where Comcast started anyway. It doesn't have anything to do with Philly. But Comcast itself has grown. I've seen it from a little baby organization to just completely exploding. And one of the things Comcast has said, they said it back in March, that they wouldn't run commercials for guns or ammunition. But what's interesting is violence is certainly what you'll see in many of the shows when you flip on Comcast. So, Justin, you tackled this issue. And you say they're hypocritical for banning guns and ammo ads while running what I just mentioned, violent programs. What was the reaction when you visited?
Yeah, hypocrisy. Thy name is Comcast, and thy name is Brian Roberts, the CEO of Comcast Corporation these days. So I brought this issue to the shareholder meeting this year, this morning in Philadelphia, to the CEO, Mr. Roberts, and I said, look, you are profiting every single day from bringing gun violence and glorifying gun violence into the homes of all of your customers. But yet, you are looking at gun shops all across the country, many of which are small businesses that sell to law-abiding, Second Amendment-respecting Americans, and you're telling them their business is no good at Comcast. How do you not see this as hypocritical? And what's more than that, I took it to the next step, and I explained to him that 65% of Americans in the most recent Rasmussen poll respect the Second Amendment and consider it a valuable part of American society. And the U.S. Supreme Court in 2008 definitively decided that the Second Amendment means what it says it means, that Americans have the right to keep and bear arms. So why are you going to align yourself as the largest cable provider in America against the U.S. Constitution, against the United States Supreme Court, and against the majority of American people? Why would you make that business decision, especially when you funnel hateful and angry and violent programming that glorifies gun violence into American homes and make a profit off of it? And it was a very interesting response. So I stated my point very clearly, and Mr. Roberts said, well, I'm sorry, Justin, that's just your opinion. Which was a shocking response for the CEO of a major corporation. My opinion, and so, you know, oftentimes the corporations will cut off your questioning after you finish, but Comcast didn't have the foresight to do so. So I just gave a quick retort and I said, no, Mr. Roberts, you're wrong. It's not my opinion. This is the opinion of 65% of Americans who support the Second Amendment and think that it is a valuable piece of the American experience to protect against tyranny. 65% of Americans support the Second Amendment. They support gun rights, and their voice is growing and it's strong. And if you're naive enough to think that these folks, once they learn the truth about your company, that you have no respect for the Second Amendment, that you have no use for it, if you're naive enough to think that they won't vote with their wallet and leave for another cable provider, then you're as naive as you are hypocritical, sir. And at that, he clammed up.
And wow, so that was it. What's the reaction when something like that happens? Do you see some eyeballs go up? Do some people start to look at you and say, wow, he's making an interesting point here? Or, you know, I guess you could read what you want into that. But I would imagine that you definitely catch some attention from the people there.
Oh, yeah. The attention in the room was very, very positive. Most shareholders, since this decision only happened in March when Comcast came out and they went public in the USA Today and said that they would no longer accept gun or ammunition advertisements, most people were unaware of it. So I had a very positive reaction. And the other thing is, you know, I just don't go in with my opinion and my rhetoric. I go in with facts. And the facts are gun crime in America is on a massive decline. The Bureau of Alcohol, Firearms, Tobacco's statistics show that between 1993 and 2011, gun crime in America, which has led to death, is down 39%, and gun crime, which was non-lethal, is down 69%. Yet Pew, in their most recent study, has found that most Americans think crime is not only rising, but rising rapidly.
We're starting to lose you there. I think your cell's going bad on us, but we got the gist of it. Justin Danhof, thanks so much, man. If you're paying attention, he is now participating, like they sent me a note, 23 shareholder meetings. So that's good. At least the National Center has. I think Justin's been at many of those. As I said, holding their feet to the fire, no doubt about it. Thanks, Justin, for coming on the show. All right, as I mentioned there, Justin, we started to lose him at the end, but talking about what happened with Comcast, and he's right. It is hypocritical to talk out of both sides of your mouth. You're showing lots of violent things on the cable network, but yet then turning down all the gun advertising just to be part of the pack is what I think. Because if you go back to January, Time Warner said they wouldn't have ads that had semi-automatic weapons or guns pointed at people. Groupon canceled all gun-related deals in North America. Then you had GE Capital, General Electric's lending division pretty much cut lending to retailers who primarily sell guns. And if you go back a year in 2012, Google told their merchants that they wouldn't allow listings for gun and weapon-related things on Google shopping platforms. I mean, now this is America, and certainly these companies can do as they choose, but it's interesting, as I said, it's interesting in the light when you start to shine it on them. What's the idea? Catch the consumers that are going to say, rah, rah, yay, because of what has happened. Here they are trying to be supportive of anti-guns in America, but as Justin pointed out, certainly we're seeing that crime is on the decline, especially when we're talking about guns. And gun violence in America, you know, if we look at, I just saw something in the LA Times, they showed that gun crime has plunged in the U.S. since the high water mark in the 1990s. So we have this idea in our heads that there are more people being killed by guns, but yet if you look at the statistics, that's not true. Now, just a quick side note to this to throw in, because, you know, we're all about throwing in some of these juicy nuggets here of take them for, you know, whatever they're worth, right? But some of these numbers. So the Parents Television Council reviewed the 392 primetime broadcast TV programs that aired between January 11th and February 11th. They found that 193 shows had at least one act of violence, and 121 shows included at least one act of gun violence. So it's interesting. If they truly wanted to get rid of the whole gun thing, they wouldn't allow that on any of those networks. So it's a kind of a crazy thing. They're alienating potential customers, I would say, Comcast is, by pointing this out. And shareholders, that's why I asked them about the reaction of the shareholders. Some of them not too happy about that because of how many people really believe in the right to the Second Amendment. Two-thirds of Americans, in fact, believe in that. And the NRA has 5 million and going strong. So this could backfire, if you will, on Comcast. But I'll say it again. I mean, we live in America, and if it's my company, then if I want to be hypocritical, I can be hypocritical. But if somebody points it out, you know, I'm not going to like it, right? So they're squirming. They don't like this. And Comcast has gotten pretty big, like I mentioned at the top. It's gone from a small cable operation that was just really in Philadelphia and kind of the New York area and South Jersey that's really exploded. They've got 39 states and the District of Columbia. So Comcast certainly has some juice. There's no question about it, but hey, listen, they're profiting from really super violent programs, but they're trying to thwart gun shops, right? And so most of those are small businesses, and that's legal selling of firearms and ammunition to people who are lawful firearm owners and will use it in a safe manner, I would assume, including self-defense. So hypocrisy in the highest, you might say. I know Justin would say that. All right, stay with us. We'll be back for more here on America Tonight.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.